Hello and welcome to our midweek reflection here at Rudenton Baptist Church. This week we're going to be looking at a fairly well known short passage found in Luke chapter 10 verses 38 to 42. This is of course the story of Mary and Martha, which for many of us is a challenging passage at the best of times. But let's consider what we might take from it in the context that we currently find ourselves living in. I'm going to read the passage and I invite you to follow if you have access to a Bible. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." As a minister, I speak to lots of people on a daily basis, and I've been trying to keep in contact regularly with members of Rudenton Baptist Church during this time of lockdown. It's been really interesting to hear different thoughts and feelings and reflections on the time that we're currently spending during this coronavirus crisis. There are some who have been quite positive and have even gone as far as suggesting that they don't want life to return to normal just yet. There are other people who are absolutely hating this time, who are frustrated by not being able to see family, who are finding this time quite lonely because they're on their own, or stressful because of the amount of stuff that they need to try and do in a day. I guess our thoughts and feelings on lockdown are perhaps shaped by a number of factors, including both our personalities and the stage of life that we find ourselves in. There are some people who have been able to see this as an opportunity to slow down, to rest, to reflect, to retreat, to spend more time with God and in nature. But there are other people who find themselves busy, trying to spin many plates, trying to work full-time online from home whilst also homeschooling their children or running around after a toddler. For some people, it's hard to find space to even breathe. Perhaps I'm writing this reflection because I find myself as someone more in the second category than in the first. And this is why the story of Mary and Martha has been at the forefront of my mind this week. Most of us will know this story well. Jesus is travelling through a village. He decides to visit the home of Mary and Martha. And both women are pleased to see Jesus, but respond very differently to his visit. Martha gets quite anxious. The house is a mess. There's nothing for Jesus to eat. And she starts running round, cleaning pots, preparing a meal. Whilst Jesus just sits at the feet, whilst Mary just sits at the feet of Jesus, spending time with him, talking with him and listening to his stories and teaching. Martha complains to Jesus that Mary isn't doing anything to help. But Jesus responds by saying, "Mary has chosen what is better and it should not be taken away from her." This is a really challenging encounter, and when reading it, many of us probably feel as frustrated as Martha. How can I possibly slow down? There's just too much that I need to get done. How am I meant to stop and spend time with Jesus when I don't even have time for breakfast? When I read this passage, I find the response of Jesus quite interesting. Because he doesn't say that Martha's activities are pointless or bad or wrong. He only says that Mary has chosen what is better. I don't think this is a passage telling us to stop all activity and spend every hour of the day with God in silent prayer like a hermit. Rather, it's teaching us about our priorities. It's helping us to think about what is most important in life and what should come first above everything else. For many of us, this time of lockdown has required a reordering of life, including a new structure and a new routine to both work, personal and family life. I found this passage quite helpful when putting together my own routine and the routine that my family are currently putting into practice. And it helped me to ask a couple of questions of myself, which I thought were helpful and I want to share with you today. The first question is, what shall I build my life and my routine around? Do I build it around my work life? Do I build it around my family and their needs? Or do I start first with God and plan the rest of my time and life around Him? If we start with these other things, then guaranteed we won't find the time for God in our routine. If you haven't got a routine for each day, it might be worth putting one together. I found this really helpful, even for practical things like having time to go and do some exercise or to rest, to look after my physical and mental health. If you've already got one in place, you might want to review it in light of the question I've just asked. What is your routine built around? It might be useful to start with a blank page. Start by planning in a few points in the day when you might stop, even if it's just for a couple of minutes, to be still, to pray, to reflect on a Bible verse. Most Bible apps normally suggest a verse for each day. You could use that. You could pray through the Lord's Prayer or just part of it. You could stop and just listen to a worship song. Online, you can also find morning, midday and evening prayers on websites like the Northumbria Community. Or you could recap the prayer course material that we did last year at prayercourse.org. Start your routine with Jesus and spending time with Him, even if it's just a couple of minutes throughout the day, and build the rest of your life around Him. For those who even hearing this feels like an extra stress or challenge, I just have a few other thoughts to share this week that may be helpful. You might want to actually ask yourself a second question. What is actually required of me? Looking back to the story of Mary and Martha, Jesus hadn't asked Martha to cook or to clean for Him. He didn't demand a meal from her. It wasn't required. Martha put that demand and that pressure upon herself because it was customary in her society to provide for a guest, particularly for someone held in such esteem as a rabbi or a teacher. Are there things that we put pressure on ourselves to do that aren't actually necessary or required? As a parent, I see on social media some of the activities that other parents are doing with their children. And it's very easy to feel guilty or to think that I need to step up my game or find new and exciting activities for my daughter Megan to do. But is this actually required of me? Or is this a pressure I'm putting on myself to be more perfect than I need to be? Perhaps all I need to do is show Megan love, to play with some toys with her or read her a book, to go for a walk, rather than feeling that I have to get all the arts and crafts and paints out and make more mess to clean up in my kitchen and make another job for myself. Think about the day and the week ahead in light of this question. What is actually required of me? It's likely there are things we all do for work or school or at home and for our families that aren't actually needed, aren't required, things that we put pressure on ourselves to do that other people aren't expecting of us. And so be kind to yourself. Prioritise rest and use the time that you would use doing these other things to enjoy resting in God's presence, listening to Him, reading a little bit of His word, listening to a worship song, whatever it might be that helps you to connect with God. I also want to encourage those of you trying to balance work and family at this time that being with Jesus and spending time with God can be chaotic, and that is okay. It's okay to spend time with God with your family as a family activity. Include your children in your times of prayer. Set an alarm for midday or for certain points throughout the day and stop together for a few minutes quiet or prayer to remember a Bible verse or to sing a worship song in the middle of homeschooling or whatever it might be. This will actually break up your day. It will focus your minds on God. And actually, I think your family will enjoy doing that together. One of my favourite spiritual writers is a writer called Brother Lawrence, who wrote a very famous book called Practice in the Presence of God, which is all about how our spiritual lives shouldn't just be about set quiet times with God, but rather we can be aware of God in every activity. This might be another way of practicing sitting at the feet of Jesus despite the full-on nature of life. Make every activity an act of prayer or praise to God. Pray while shaving or washing the dishes or during homeschooling your children or as you watch or listen to the news. Be aware of God. Recognize Him in each thing that you do and bring Him into every activity of the day, using each moment as an opportunity to pray and to worship and to bring your life before God. As I've prepared for this reflection today, I've been reminded of a story that was shared when we did Pete Gregg's prayer course, and it's in his book, How to Pray. And it's a story that I told as we were doing that prayer course last year. And I know that a number of people, particularly people who have quite busy working lives with children, found helpful. And it's about a woman called Susanna Wesley, who's known as the mother of Methodism. And I'm not going to read the whole story to you now. I'd rather just remind you of it. Susanna Wesley was an amazing woman who had lots of children. And a husband who went round preaching, and because of the things that he was preaching, on a number of occasions he was put in prison. He often wasn't around the home, and their marriage was difficult because of that as well. They were going through a really challenging time as a family. Also at this time, the local church that Susanna Wesley was part of wasn't really running very well, and she decided to set up a church in her own house, and she started getting a number of people attending, and eventually this church grew to about 200 people and had to meet elsewhere. But Susanna Wesley had a really hard time in life, and she struggled with her marriage. She struggled with having loads of children around, and having to homeschool them as well, which is very similar to the context that many of us find ourselves in today. But yet she still tried to be a woman of prayer. She still tried to find times with God throughout her day. And we read in this story told by Pete Gregg that Susanna Wesley didn't have anywhere in her house where she could go off on her own and pray. It was impossible with the number of children that she had. And so whenever she wanted to spend a bit of time with God, she would lift her apron up over her head and sit under it. And she'd make this into her own little prayer room. And she'd spend a few moments praying to God. Susanna Wesley is known as the mother of Methodism because from the church she set up, the Methodist movement grew, leading hundreds of thousands, even millions of people to know the Lord Jesus. And the work that she's done is still recognised and celebrated today. This is an amazing story of a woman with an incredibly busy life who still found time to pray by pulling up her apron over her head in the kitchen and using it as a little prayer room. How could you spend time with God this week? Let's take a moment to consider these few questions. How might I build my life and my routine around God? What is actually required of me this week? How might I practice the presence of God in the midst of the chaos around me? And so as you consider those questions, let's just take a few moments of quiet to be still and to sit at the Lord's feet. And in a moment, I'm going to read a psalm just to guide us in helping us to focus our minds on God today. So this is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so may the Lord bless you as you seek him this week. Amen.